Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. Cheryl and I took our three youngest boys to see a great movie that's in the theaters right now called Courageous, and it's made by the same folks who made some of our other favorite movies, including Facing the Giants and Fireproof. Now, we have the movie trailer, and I know this is radio. Is this still radio? We've been doing it for 20 years. But Alfred Hitchcock knew that there's nothing better than the imagination. So listen to the soundtrack of this trailer for Courageous. You're going to want to go see the movie. Let's hear it.
Sheriff's office, we have a warrant for your arrest.
Back door, back door!
Deputy Thompson has now survived his rookie year.
Guess that means you can start using real bullets now.
When you get married, have some kids, you're gonna figure out real quick how much you don't know.
You missed Emily's piano recital.
Can I talk to you?
Can I suggest that you spend a little more time with him?
All he wants to do is play video games and go run 5 miles.
What are you doing home?
They let me go.
Do you really feel like it messed up your childhood not having a dad?
More than you know.
Adam, I need you to come with me right now.
Man, if it wasn't for my family, I'd be in a tailspin right now.
You do heal, but you're never the same.
I want to know what God expects of me.
My life is leading me down the road.
I've been doing about half of what I should have been doing as a dad.
You're being too hard on yourself.
Now I'm
Revolution?
Yeah.
You've been a good enough father.
I don't want to be a good enough father.
Can I sign this too?
Trying to find my
I don't feel like I started well. I want to finish well.
You're gonna do this? Then do it right. Something like this needs ceremony.
I feel like a rich man.
As your father, I want the very best for you. I promise to take care of you.
So where are you, men of courage? I believe every father should step up and answer the call. And to say, I will. I will.
Wow, what a great movie. Now, a lot of churches, I pastor Denver Bible Church, a lot of churches have greeters to welcome people on Sunday morning. And there's often a coordinator who organizes the greeters. But how often does the greeter coordinator become a famous actor? Well, we'll have to ask Ken Bevel. Ken, welcome to Bob Enyart Live.
Oh, man. Thank you so much, Bob. I appreciate you having me.
What a thrill. We love you guys, Ken. Your church, you guys are on the East Coast. You're in Georgia. We're in Colorado. We have a lot of families who love the Lord, beautiful kids, and we want to take them to the movies to enjoy themselves, be entertained, but there's so much harmful material from Hollywood. And then comes Sherwood Baptist Church.
Right.
Could you tell us about the vision of the church in making these movies?
Absolutely. We don't want to make it too extravagant, as you say. The movie ministry at Sherwood Baptist Church is just that for us. It's another ministry that we use to reach people for Jesus Christ, you know. So it's no larger than the usher ministry or the greeter ministry, like you mentioned, or the security ministry. But it's a ministry that people can tap into, use their gifts to draw people to the cross. And that's what's so amazing about it. People from all walks of life, all cultures, all generations come together, put in their talents and abilities, time, sweat equity, to make something that's going to impact families. So that's what we're excited about.
And I mentioned the greeters because you're a senior associate pastor there at Sherwood Baptist, and you have a lot of responsibilities. And so being an actor is one of them, not a typical responsibility at a church. But could we talk about the movie Courageous? Because we saw you in Fireproof. We love that movie. Courageous is a movie that grabs you from the opening scene. And I got to think that as an actor, that was a challenge to film that scene for you.
Oh, man. Filming Courageous was incredible. The whole thing about it was incredible. The challenging and the talking and discussing fatherhood was incredible. man from beginning, like you say, to end. Mm-hmm. It's not only humorous, but it's also, you know, has suspense, and then it goes into, you know, feeling really sorrowful, and I mean, it just takes a whole wave of emotions. And filming those scenes, particularly that first scene, you know, it has so many underlying tones in it. First you see, you know, this man chasing after this truck, and then, you know, when it finally stops, you realize why he was chasing after the truck.
Yeah.
But in addition to that, there you see a man not willing to let his family go harmed. So that is a magnificent picture of a man, how I should pursue the hearts of my family. At any cost, I should ensure that as a man, I'm chasing them down and ensuring that I'm winning their hearts for Christ and not being a hindrance to their walks.
Yeah, so the opening scene captures the whole plot and the moral of the story, which is a father should be willing to sacrifice anything, everything for his family.
That's correct.
And so the movie's powerful. Could I ask you, Ken Bevel, you know, years ago I was at a Microsoft event. I used to work for Microsoft in Redmond, and most of the cast of the TV series MASH was there, and all these actors would be asked, so what's it like to work with Alan Alda? And I think they sort of got sick of that question. But could I ask you about Stephen Kendrick and Kirk Cameron you worked with in Fireproof? And even one of my favorite characters in this movie is Javier, Robert Amaya. Could you talk to me about you guys working together in these movies affirming Jesus Christ?
Absolutely. Alex and I work together a lot because we're both, you know, on staff at Sherwood. So it's a joy and a pleasure to work with him. We travel, you know, a little bit together. So it's good kind of hearing each other's hearts and hearing what God is doing in the lives of us and in the lives of our family. With respect to Robert, man, he's a great guy. He loves the Lord. Loves his family. So it was a real joy working with him also.
And Ken, the movie is so fun, so moving. It's tense. It's exciting. Everything a movie should be.
Right.
But Robert Amaya as Javier, he's just so fun.
Yeah, he's a very, very talented guy. I mean, just really, you can see God's gifts kind of overflowing on him. Not only does he act, he can sing and, you know, everything else. So,
well, how did you guys find him as an actor?
We go through several talent agencies. Once we try to fill the roles from inside the church, and his role was one of the more difficult people to find someone to fill that role, and we auditioned plenty of folks, and I think his name got pushed through to a talent agency or something like that, a Christian talent agency, and they were able to kind of do a audition with him over the web and then also bring him in. So there was a number of things that happened before Robert Amaya actually got on the set, and as a matter of fact, he was probably the last one interviewed for that at Javier scene. So
wow, and perfect casting, so congratulations there. The movie is evidence, I think, that God is blessing you guys.
Absolutely.
Do you have something in the works? What are you guys up to?
Well, we don't have anything in the works yet. Our process for making movies is not, for number one, you know, we just don't want to be known as this church that's just really turning out the movies and burning out our members and different things like that, or doing it for the money. We want to do ministry to affect lives and change the world from Albany, Georgia. So the process that we go through is to pray. Alex Stephen, our pastor and executive pastor, they all go away to pray and ask God, number one, do we need to do another movie? And then number two, if we do another movie, what is it going to be about? Mm-hmm. So an extreme amount of prayer goes into the decision to make another movie and the topic to make another movie. And we haven't started that yet because we're still kind of trying to redeem the time with our families and our children to ensure that, you know, we're not going out and speaking something that we're not living at home.
And when we started, I said Stephen Kendrick. Now, Alex is the dad in the movie.
That's correct.
And these guys are brothers?
Yes, they're brothers. Yeah, and they're both on staff here at Sherwood. They are just two really talented individuals that God has blessed with the gift of, you know, telling a really good story. Yeah, you can see him when he's sitting in the director's chair, you know, he's on scene, and he can see the story transforming and what elements need to be added. And Stephen as well, he can look at it as well, and he can tell you what biblical concepts go behind the story that's trying to be told. So it's just a magnificent team that God's brought here together. They're in charge. They're working with Sherwood Pictures, so it's been incredible.
Thanks to you guys, you're really helping to open up a path into the theaters. There's another Christian movie that is going straight to DVD, but it's going to be at Walmarts all over the country on Tuesday, November 8th. and it's called Alleged, and it's about evolution and creation and the Scopes monkey trial. And that movie, made by a Christian producer in Michigan, Fred Foote, it has major Hollywood actors in it, Brian Dennehy, Colm Meaney, Fred Thompson, Ashley Johnson, who plays in The Help that's out right now. But it's really difficult to get an independent film into the theaters, and that's why I'm so amazed at the movies you guys are producing. This is a significant box office success, not only an affirmation of Jesus Christ and an opportunity to evangelize and encourage your own family, but it's also a success at the box office.
Yeah, it's one of those pictures of where when we give the Lord our little, he takes it and he turns it into much. Mm. And, man, that's all we've done is we've taken whatever gifts and talents God has given us, and through those and through prayer, much prayer, give them to the Lord, just like the little boy with the two fish and five loaves of bread. Mm. Whenever it's put into the hands of Jesus, he makes something big out of it that we never can do. So that's what we're excited about and how God has used it to touch many, many families across the world.
Well, Ken, that's exciting. We're on AM 670 KLTT, which is Colorado's most powerful radio station right now, 50,000 watts. For most of Colorado and into Nebraska, Kansas, Wyoming, even a bit of Oklahoma, guys, you got to see Courageous. You just got to go see it. It's in the theaters right now. And Ken, God bless you. We love you guys.
God bless you. Thank you so much for having me.
All right. Ken Bevel, his character in the movie is Nathan Hayes. He's a police officer. He works with another character, Adam Mitchell, who's played by Alex Kendrick. And Alex, with his brother, they produce, write. Alex stars in these movies, and they're getting better and better. And in a way, it's hard to say that because the early movies were so tremendous. But man, Courageous. You just got to see it. So that's great hearing from Ken Bevel. Go see the movie Courageous. Our family loved it. Now we're going to go to Mississippi, and we'll talk with Coach Dave Dobemeyer, one of the nation's leading personhood advocates, who's there for the last 6 days of the campaign. But before we get to Coach Dave, we're back with my wife, Cheryl. Cheryl, thanks for being in Mississippi.
Thank you for having me on the show again. It's fun to be here.
All right, honey. So what's happening down there? Could you give us an idea of anything that happened today?
Yeah, well, we came down over to Biloxi, Mississippi, which is where we're at right now. And we just had a huge sign. I think they call them honking waves.
Yeah.
Very big intersection. We gave out a lot of literature. We got a lot of thumbs up, but, you know, not very many negatives. It was real positive and real encouraging. And I had one really interesting conversation with a woman who came up and talked to me. She came up and she wanted to say something, but she started crying like she couldn't even get the words out. She was very emotional. And she said, "I almost aborted my child 12 years ago. Huh. Everybody in my family was trying to get me to abort this child. My brother was calling me from Seattle saying, 'You don't need another kid, just abort this.' And she said, 'I just didn't do it.' And I said, 'Well, how are you so strong to stand up to that kind of pressure?' She said, 'I just knew in my heart it was wrong.' And so now she has a 12-year-old daughter. She said she's just the most wonderful blessing in her life. She was just tested for the gifted program.
Yeah.
And I was just so thrilled. So I just asked her if she said a lot of people in her neighborhood go to her church. So I asked her if her church was supporting it. And she said, "Yeah, I think so. And it's just right down the road." So I asked her if we could go to the church and drop off some literature for the pastor.
All right.
And she gave me the contact info. So we're going to head out over there. We just finished lunch, so we're going to head out over there and stop by the church.
All right. Well, Cheryl, please tell Leslie Hanks and all the crew that we said hi. And now we're going to go talk to Coach Dave Dobemeyer.
Okay.
Thanks. God bless you.
Thanks. Bye.
We're so thrilled that Mom, Cheryl, wife, is down there in Mississippi helping out with the campaign. Now let's go to Coach. Coach Dave, who is only a few miles away from where Cheryl Enyart is right now in Mississippi. Coach Dave Dobemeyer, welcome to Bob Enyart Live.
Oh, Bob, it's great to be on the air with you. It's great to be pounding the pavement down here in sunny Biloxi, Mississippi.
All right. Coach, I've interviewed you. I've been in your studio in Columbus, Ohio. It's really been a thrill working with you as a brother in Christ throughout all these years to protect unborn children. So now you're in Mississippi because that's where the battle is most fierce.
Yes, well, you know, we're trying to pardon me while I pant. I'm a little bit out of shape as I go door to door with these flyers. We're trying to get the same thing going on in Ohio, Bob. One of the things we're finding in Ohio, one of the things that's really discouraged me, even down here in Mississippi, is you would think those who are on your side would be on your side.
Yeah, right.
Scripture is very clear. It says that your enemies shall be those of your own household, Bob. And it is unbelievable to me that we have to go to churches and twist the arm of pastors to try to get them to, I don't even want to use the word endorse, but even to speak to the people, to take flyers, to put a sign in their yard.
Right.
Pastors, our leaders, don't want to get involved.
Well, the reason abortion is legal in America is because the body of Christ doesn't want to stop it. If the body of Christ wanted to stop it, we could. There are enough of us. And we saw this historically in Germany, where most Christians, most pastors were tolerant of the hatred of the Jews and the growing National Socialism. In America, most pastors were tolerant of slavery, owning black people, kidnapping and owning black people. They were tolerant. And so today, most pastors are tolerant of killing children in their communities.
You know, Bob, I'm an old football coach. Actually, I still am a football coach, coaching in the state of Ohio. Our season just ended. That's how I was actually able to be down here in Mississippi.
Yeah.
But I was an old there's an old adage, Bob. The football team is a reflection of the coach. All you have to do is look at the Denver Broncos and the kind of year that they're having, and they're a reflection of their coach. In fact, they just changed coaches because whatever was going on there wasn't working. What we see in America today is a reflection of the coach. It's the pastor, the people. I found this in my short time here in Mississippi. The people are open to it, Bob. We stand out on the streets. I've been to some really, really hostile areas as you have, and we fight in this pro-life fight. And they're not hostile here. Thumbs up, they honk horns, they smile.
Wow.
Everybody seems to be, they seem to be with you, Bob. You know, we would stand out on the street corner a number of times, not here, but in Jackson Hole, Wyoming, and in Denver, and in Columbus, Ohio, and they would just flip us off one after another, just flip us off.
Right.
None of that porn. None of it.
Wow. So, Coach Dave, if you read, for example, a 2,500-year-old book written by a Chinese military strategist, Sun Tzu, in his Art of War, he talks about choosing your battles. Choose your battles. And so it is so wise for Personhood USA to be in Mississippi, where there are far more, percentage-wise, people in the voting public who have a soft place in their heart for the unborn child. So this is significant. In 6 days, we have an election there, November 8th, Tuesday, and Mississippi may become the first state to have a vote to protect unborn children.
Well, someone said to me the other day, Bob, not only is this the Bible Belt, this is the buckle of the Bible Belt.
Right.
Christianity is still alive and well in the state of Mississippi, but if the coaches don't direct the people on what play to run, we've reached a point in America where so many people can't think on their own. And we have coaches, pastors, standing in the pulpit who don't want to call a play. They would just soon say to the congregation, run whatever play you want to. It doesn't really matter to me. Jesus is coming. This whole thing's going to be okay. Don't get involved with politics. And those on our team don't understand that they need to strap it up and go to war.
Yeah. So I'm so thrilled that there are leaders out there, including you, Coach. You're from Ohio. In fact, you guys, we reported this on the air in Colorado about 2 weeks ago. You guys turned in twice as many signatures as you needed to in Ohio in order to proceed with your petition drive. But I've heard that there has been serious resistance to your effort to get going in Ohio.
Well, they rejected it, Bob, but I don't really consider it serious opposition. Dr. Patrick Johnston, who's heading up our calls, actually had the opportunity to sit down with our Attorney General, Michael DeWine. Dr. Patrick got to sit down with him across the table. And Michael DeWine told Dr. Patrick, listen, the problem is not worth the amendment. The amendment is fine. He said the summary that you've attached to the amendment is not a clear representation of what the amendment is. If you want the amendment to be able to be approved, then the language in the summary must be in the amendment.
All right.
And here's what we found out is in our short trip down here in Mississippi, the biggest stumbling block has been the idea of contraception.
Mm-hmm.
That's what many Christians are hiding behind down here. They've been told falsely by Planned Parenthood that this amendment would ban contraception. Well, we would put it in the body of our amendment that it does not ban contraception.
Hey, Coach, so what we have is years ago, the abortion industry and the medical community and the legal community, they redefined terms. They redefined conception to mean implantation. And they did that so that they could sell abortifacients, devices and chemicals that would kill a baby after it's conceived, and they could call it a contraceptive. That was very deceptive. So today, thanks to the personhood movement, the truth comes to the surface, and so people are realizing that there are contraceptives that prevent fertilization. They're barrier methods, and no child comes into existence. And then there are other devices that kill the baby after it's conceived, that kill a baby after it's come into existence. And so personhood would ban, for example, the IUD or RU-46, chemical weapons that are used to kill the baby, but it would not affect in any way contraceptives.
No, but that's what they've been hanging their hat on, though, Bob. They're telling everybody that. Now, I would encourage your listeners to go to yeson26.net.
Yeah.
Yeson26.net. There's some great information there, Bob. In fact, a great video just posted up there of a woman who had a baby after being raped. It's one of the most articulate arguments I've ever heard for the defense of babies conceived during rape. And if the folks would go to yeson26.net and check that out, it's a very, very powerful video.
You know what I'd like to do, Coach? I saw that video just before airtime, and I saw it on top of American Right to Life's website, which is interesting because I believe that just occurred at a press conference for Amendment 26 there in Mississippi. It is so powerful. I'm going to see if we could air that audio right now when you and I hang up.
It is unbelievable.
It's tremendous.
Destroys the entire argument.
Coach, do you have a last word for us, and then we'll go to that audio?
Well, here's what I know. The Lord has committed to faithful men, Bob. I try to be a faithful man. I know you're a faithful man. Your wife is out here. Stand up and support unborn children. And what we are called to do is to be faithful to the cause. I don't know if God's going to end abortion in Mississippi. I don't know if he's going to end in Ohio, but I know this. I've been called to occupy until he returns, to fight. What was it they told us? That we're to earnestly contend for the faith.
Yes.
Be faithful and contend for the faith, contend for the truth, and then let God do whatever he wants to do with our efforts. That would be my prayer, and it's an honor to be out here.
All right. Coach Dave Dobbenmeyer, thank you so much for being on with us at Bob and Yurt Live.
Always an honor, Bob, and I look forward to seeing you.
All right. Can't wait. So that's Coach Dave, Past the Salt Ministries. You could find him online. You could go to Personhood USA if you want to be involved in the phone bank in these last days before the election, or Pro-Life Mississippi. Call them if you want to show up for a day or two and help out. Now, let's see if we could play this audio.
I was raped a month before I turned 18. And because of that rape, I was so fearful and so shameful that I chose abortion out of fear. My rape was nothing compared to what I did to my child. What my rapist did to me does not compare what I chose to do to my baby. My rapist didn't kill me. I'm standing here alive right now. I have three beautiful children at home and a husband who loves me. But I chose to kill my child out of shame, out of guilt, out of fear because of what a man did to me. Rape is no excuse for abortion. I want to say that. They rape, and I'm not a victim anymore. I'm not a victim. I'm a survivor. I'm the mother of a child who I aborted, who is, thank the Lord, is in heaven. And because of Jesus Christ, I'll be with that child again. And I pray for my rapist every day that he comes to know Jesus. But I'm tired. As a person who was raped and a person who had abortion, I'm telling you right now, I'm tired of using rape as an excuse. Who do we believe creates life? Did my rapist create the life inside of me? No. God Almighty created that life. Do doctors and nurses and petri dishes create life? No. Jesus Christ creates life. A baby still has to be able to sustain itself inside a mother's womb. This lady's a good lady. You know what she does? She protects the mother and the child. But you know what? Who was there to protect me? When I went into my abortion clinic, I told them I was raped. I was begging for someone to stop me, to save my baby, because I knew inside what I was doing was wrong. Because a mother knows, and if you're a mother, you know that. But all the lady said to me, my counseling session was, oh, okay, sign this paper saying you understand your procedure. Even though I didn't understand my procedure. For years, I lived in depression. I contemplated suicide, attempted suicide. I spent years drinking to numb the pain, to numb the horrific nightmares. Was later diagnosed with post-traumatic stress disorder, not just because of the rape, but because of the abortion. I was done with my rape. I was trying to conceive. How in the world did I choose to kill my child? How could I not be strong enough? Who was going to speak for me as an 18-year-old girl who didn't have a family to support her? No one did. That's what 26 is. We have got to speak up. It's not just about the babies. It's about the moms like me who think they're making a good decision and they're not. And women aren't the only ones affected. I have met countless number of men who have chosen for their wives or their girlfriends to have abortions, and those men end up regretting it later too. Because when you're in the moment, you make decisions sometimes that aren't the wisest decisions. And people are too scared. People carry too much shame. I carry too much shame and too much guilt for so many years. But now, 13 years later after that abortion, I stand up here not ashamed. Because of Jesus Christ, I'm not ashamed, because there's no condemnation in him. But I want to make sure that my son, who I believed was the son, the child that I aborted, that he didn't die in vain. I'm speaking up for him today because he can't speak anymore because he's dead. And there are thousands and thousands of babies every day who die to abortion. So stop using rape as an excuse, because rapists don't create children. God creates children, and we have to protect them. If we believe in the Bible says, speak up for those who can't defend themselves. Those babies can't defend themselves. As a rape victim, I could not protect myself, but I can today, and that's why I'm here, and that's why I'm speaking up. So stop using rape as an excuse.
That was so good, so very important. Go to AmericanRightToLife.org. You'll see her, that press conference, right at the top of their homepage. Also, you'll see it at KGov, our website, KGOV.com. Please pray for victory in Mississippi for the unborn child created in God's image. Our phone number here, 800-8-NYART. And hey, please support us so we can stay on the air.